Welcome, everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Sorry for the minor delay. Just trying to get myself acclimated. I'm in a car right now. Don't have any swarm in front of me. So I hope that tonight's share comes out clear and that everyone enjoys. So tonight's share is on Parshas Vayera. I really should call it the weekly recap with Mordechai Plotzker, because tomorrow night, Baruch Hashem, we have a whole list of Rabbanim that will be talking about Parshas Bo. So I happen to like to just review on Shai Mikra and some insights and thoughts that I was thinking about on the Parsha itself. So this week's Parsha Vayera, as we know, has seven makos, and the next Parsha has three. I'd like to try to just focus on the beginning of the Parsha and sort of towards the end of the Parsha. The beginning of the Parsha begins with we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is mentioned in many different forms. And I think we heard a share about this last week. I just wanted to try to bring this out to light a little bit. We know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had revealed himself to the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, as well as Yosef, there was no dialogue between the recipient and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was more of a nevuah that came, or a presence that came, and as a result, circumstances evolved, and either kabanos were offered, or confidence was built into Yaakov, for example, and had to proceed forward with his brother Esav. Love on, and then somewhat of a little bit of a mystery when dealing with Yosef. But when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, as we see, just the second Parsha in, last week's Parsha was the Parsha of the Holocaust. It was the Parsha of Bnei Yisrael feeling helpless, and there's no one to turn to. Yes, there were circumstances that were coming about, but they were yet to formalize themselves. And I think that there's two powerful messages over here. Number one, when we saw, in Bereishis, where it says that Bayeid Yehuda Me'esachav, that Rashi tells us that this is exactly when the Zera Mashiach is going to come into the world. Yehuda, falls down from grace, and Klai Yisrael has a sense of despair. And then out of that sense of despair comes tremendous hope and a regrowth. Both of our confidence-building measures that really propel us forward. And we see something very powerful. The second point that I want to bring out is we saw, earlier on in Bereishis, Haktzak, Asabah, Eli, that in Sodom and Gomorrah, this little girl that was feathered and tarred for giving bread to a needy, homeless person, when she cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when the Yeshua began to occur. So the Yeshua begins sometimes when we feel that we're in a state of despair and that we have no one to turn to. Eino mevado bar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes creates the circumstances where that is manifest. But sometimes it has to happen from us. And so Vanitzak al Hashem, when we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in last week's Parsha, and again in this week's Parsha, Me'avod HaKasha, that we had difficulty with dealing with all of the terrible things that the Mitzrayim were doing to us. When we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is when the Yeshua comes about. So sometimes it could be subliminal, and sometimes it could be something that's very apparent, and sometimes it happens together. So when we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when the Yeshua occurs. Now it's also interesting to note that when we daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Chazal bring down that the moment that we cry out to Hashem, that is when we're judged. And that can't be a better time of judgment, because it's very difficult for a person to cry. It demonstrates weakness. It demonstrates a sense of despair. It demonstrates a sense of belonging that seems to be lost. And it's uncomfortable because we don't want to do it in front of our kids because we want to be strong. We can't do it in front of our neighbors and friends and shul, because then we're concerned that they'll be talking about us when we're not around. So crying is very, very difficult. The only time a person feels comfortable doing so, Nebuch, is at a point of a loss, and no one should ever have to experience that. Why? Because that is what's expected. So sometimes what's expected of us is easy for us to do, but what's not expected for us, which is really what we should be doing, we're not comfortable yet doing. And that is really the challenge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on us. So, Vanitzak al Hashem, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers. And we see this throughout, even with Sari Menu, that she cried out for help, for Rafuas and Yeshuas, for the people that took her captive. And not only were they healed, she was also healed. And so there was there's a lot to be said about people crying out directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and seeing the Yeshua, and especially even with Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov Avinu is preparing for battle, but he's also preparing for appeasement, and he's also preparing with bakashos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we see that by Yavo Yaakov Shalom, Shalom Begufo, Shalom Betaraso, Shalom Bemamono, that he was at peace, and that all is born from this tefillah. And this tefillah that we're talking about is what really epitomizes Moshe Rabbeinu and his interaction with Klal Yisrael. We see that Yeshua is the generation of Asiya, which is a conquest, physical conquest of the land of Israel. But when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu is, as we say later on, Ve'eschanan al Hashem, Ve'isahi le'mar, that Ve'eschanan is Lashon Tefillah. Ve'eschanan is the Gematria of 515. So is Tefillah, and so is Shira, and so is Yitzchak and Rivka. When you put the two together, you get 515. So there's a lot to be said about Moshe Rabbeinu and how he plans to interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We never had someone who says, you know, I'm not helping the situation, Moshe Rabbeinu said in last week's parsha. I'm hurting the situation. I come and tell Paro to let my people go and let them get out of Mitzrayim, and Paro takes away the straw, and then all of a sudden we find our babies are part of the walls of Pisum and Ramses, thrown into rivers and drowned. And my seemingly interaction over here with Paro doesn't seem to be helping the situation. And if I'm not helping, then I might as well just excuse myself and let someone more fit take the leadership role. And so this is how Moshe Rabbeinu interacts. And you see that this is so uncommon. And you ask yourself, what is the better approach? Is it preferable for the recipient of the nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to just listen and not complain and not talk back? How would we react, and what would be our responsibility if HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to us, you know, today, tomorrow? How would we respond? Would we act more like an Avram Yitzchak and a Yaakov, or would we be more like a Moshe Rabbeinu who really tests the water, so to speak? And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you should see, I made a joke out of Paro. He was your step-grandfather. He was the guy who had you on his lap and teaching you Egyptian Aleph Beis and giving you toys and growing up in a palace. And then all of a sudden you appear before Paro, which is why, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in the Torah that Moshe was 80 years old and Aaron was 83. What's the value in telling us their age? Because what they were really telling Paro was, 80 years ago, I was a little infant in your lap, in your palace. And 80 years ago, you gave me supper. And 80 years ago, you took me out to the park. And I was a little child that you treated so nicely. And here I am being the Moshiach, Moshe being the Moshiach of Klal Yisrael. So there's so much irony in this interaction between Moshe telling Paro, and some say it may have been a different Paro, but assuming it's the same Paro, that you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works miracles. You think you were able to get rid of me? You think you were able to destroy my family? My brother and I are standing here right before you. And it was 80 years to the day that I was a little baby that you rescued through your daughter, Batya. And so this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works these miracles sometimes. And sometimes you have to accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have a sense of humor. Because if it weren't so, it would be someone else, you know, presenting himself before Paro. So, again, the midah that Moshe demonstrates over here, the koach ha-tfilah, the koach ha-dibor, is pronounced in so many different ways. And we see that this is the dichotomy between Moshe being the Gilgal of Noach, and we'll see this later on in Parshas Kisisa. We'll see this later on Moshe Rabbeinu's interaction will highlight this even stronger, where after the Chet Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you want to, Akosh Baruch Hu says, Vakimosis Bisi Itach, I will set a new covenant with you and the rest of the world. Kenvega Haggad, I don't need everybody. I just need you, Moshe Rabbeinu. I need your family. And whatever happens with the rest of them, I will take care of them. And just you will live on this earth. And we'll start a new world from you, Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds, if you really want to do that, Mechina Misipaka Ashaka Safta, and take me out of your holy book, meaning the Torah itself. And we see that Chazal say it was Parshas Tzava, right? And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu's name is absent. We'll talk about that later on. But if you take a look at the letters of Necheni, says the Halakha Kedushas Levi, you will see the words, Mei Noach. What was Moshe Rabbeinu really saying? Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're telling me that because of the Chet HaEgel, Klal Yisrael is not going to be anymore, and it's just going to be my family, and that's going to be the future of the world? No, you promised back in the time of Noach, and here I am being the representative of Noach. When you had said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all due respect, Vakimosis Bisi Itach, do you know what Noach said? Noach said nothing. There was a sound of silence. You didn't hear a pin drop. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're saying the same thing to me? I'm not going to let this pass, because by Noach, the world got destroyed. But afterwards, you promised that you were never going to destroy the world again. The Medrash brings down that after Noach exited the Teva, he cried, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you only would have cried this way, I never would have destroyed the world. What was Hashem saying? Hashem was saying, yes, you were born under the Midah of Elohim. Elohim is Halach Noach. You do what you're told. You don't have to be somebody who does outreach. You don't have to be somebody who does Kiruv. You just have to do what you're told to do, and that's all I expect from you. But is that really all HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us? Hashem really wants us to be a mashpia, a source of light, a source of inspiration, and a source of guidance, for lack of a better word, to others around us, to inspire others, to lift others up with a good word, a word of chizuk, a smile, and something positive to share with someone else. There's too much negativity in the world, and the force of negativity is far greater and stronger and more powerful than the force of something positive and positivity. So what's the tafkid? Our responsibility is to be positive. Eyetov. And if you ask me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says what my name is, Eke Asha Eke. It's all in the future tense. Eye Asha Eke. This is really the future tense, meaning don't dwell on the past. The Lashon of Avar, Lashon of Avera, it's the same Lashon. Something that someone who dwells on the past never can proceed forward. They're living in the past, and they feel that because of their shortcomings or because of their setbacks, they're not able to engage the following day with the same type of vigor and enthusiasm and positivity that they need in order to succeed. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, look forward, be positive, keep moving, and keep persevering. And this is the message that Moshe Rabbeinu instills in us from the very beginning of Parsha Shmos into Va'era, that he is going to be the one, no matter what happens, he's going to come back again and again and again and again and again to Paro to say all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even though he knows what's going to be. Why? Because the message is, Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, listen, I did this Monday. You're telling me to go ahead and do it next week? Leave the guy alone. Why are you mutching him so much? Leave me alone. Just do one makkah, knock it all out. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to go back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us mitzvos. You're going to do it again. You're going to daven again. You're going to put on tefillin again in the morning. You're going to do more chasadim and more gemil chasad and more Torah learning and more tefillah every single day. You're going to keep on doing it again and again. And this is what really transforms not only Moshe Rabbeinu but Klal Yisrael. When they see somebody who demonstrates perseverance, it really makes a tremendous rosham, a tremendous impression. Just wanted to close out with one idea, one thought. In addition to talking about the differences between Noach and Moshe as a standalone, and also the Eser Sher Asalalti, but one final Nakuda, just on the Makkah of Kinim. Kinim was, we know, the third Makkah. The first three Makkos were not done by Moshe Rabbeinu, they were done by Aaron HaKohen. Why? Because of Midas HaChesed. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saved in the water, Kimin HaMayim Mishisiyu, so therefore he's not able to hit the water. which created the dam. The Tzvardeya also had a certain level of hitting a Tzvardeya, hitting the water. And then Kinim. Kinim is where Moshe Rabbeinu hid the Mitzri that he had killed. But it was only revealed later on by what we call, by what we became known to know them as Dasan Baviram, etc. So there's a midah of Hakaras HaTov that is very emblematic within the parsha. But the midah of Kinim was that they were able to create this lice. And lice, we know, we should never know, but lice is a very, 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 very small creature. And it was so small that the Mitzrim were not able to replicate this. And so therefore, they said, they were not able to do kishuf. And why is that? So the Das Kinim brings down that if the ground is not firm, then the Mitzrim are unable to do kishuf. And since Moshe Rabbeinu, through Aaron, HaKohen, created the Makkah of Kinim, the Mitzrim were unable to replicate this. And they said, what? They said, Etzba Lokimi, this must be the finger of God. Says the Das Kinim that Etzba is Rosh HaTevos, Ein Tzarach Bedika Od. I don't need any further clarification. I know that this must be coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in closing, we should be able to understand that we should also incorporate this midah of perseverance, of positivity, of endurance that we see in Moshe Rabbeinu. And we should also be able to see in all of the things that we do, Ein Tzarach B'dika Od, that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our partner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is together with us in whatever we do. And we should have a successful, productive, and very fruitful week. You and your whole families with Bracha B'Hatzlacha and everyone in the very best of health. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best from Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York. Have a great week.